Scripture reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 21 through 30. He began to explain to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." Everyone was raving about Jesus. So impressed were they by his gracious words flowing from his lips. They said, "This is Joseph's son, isn't it?" Then Jesus said to them, "Undoubtedly, you will quote this, saying, 'Doctor, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we've heard you've done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "I assure you that no prophet is welcome in the prophet's hometown. I can assure you that there were many widows in Israel during Elijah's time when it didn't rain for 3.5 years, and there was a great food shortage in the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to the widow in the city of Zarephath in the region of Sidon. There were also many persons with skin diseases in Israel during the time of the prophet Elisha, but none of them were cleansed. Instead, Naaman the Syrian was cleansed." When they heard this, everyone in the synagogue was filled with anger. They rose up and ran him out of town. They led him to the crest of the hill on which their city had been built so that they could throw him off the cliff. But he passed through the crowd and went on his way. And these are holy words for holy people.
That's an actual picture of me in grade school.
Well, good morning. You ever heard a sermon that made you want to throw the preacher off a cliff? I have come close. Jesus preached a sermon, and it was a really short sermon. I mean, mostly it was reading from Isaiah and then closing up the scroll and saying, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And everyone was amazed at the gracious words that were coming out of his mouth. And they ask him to explain things further. And he was like, "Well, surely you're going to tell me, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' right? Go and give us some of these miracles that we've been hearing about. We've been hearing that you're going all around the country doing all these great miracles. Why don't you do some back here at home? Don't you care about us here at home?" And Jesus said something that made him mad. Do you know what made him mad? He tells two stories from the Old Testament where God was gracious to Gentiles, where God was not doing miracles for God's own chosen people, the Israelites, the Hebrew people. God was working miracles for outsiders. I think the thing that surprised these people when Jesus was talking to them is that God is God. We don't get to tell God what to do. We don't get to tell God who to heal. We don't get to tell God where miracles get to happen. We don't get to tell God how to do God's job. We can make requests. We can ask God to do God's job in a certain way. That's certainly fair. That's fair game. But every so often, it's important for us to look in the mirror and say, you know, God is God and I'm not. And that God is going to be gracious to whoever God good and well wants to. In other words, Jesus is telling these people who have gathered in the temple and are making requests of him, God's going to work where God's going to work. And if that's not here, that's not your business. And it made them so mad that they chased him out of the temple and they ran him to the edge of the cliff and were planning to shove him over. And then the cool part is, the next thing that happens is he just made his way back through the crowd. How in the world he makes his way through an angry mob who wants to shove him off the cliff? There's no explanation for it. There's no pointing out that this was a miracle. There's no pointing out that this was weird or, you know, that he spoke a word and they all fell to the ground or nothing like that. Just he made his way back through the crowd and escaped. It's like every movie that takes place in Chicago, there's always the St. Patrick's Day parade that you can get lost in and lose whoever's chasing you. So he makes his way back through the crowd, but he lets these folks know that God is going to be God. God is going to be who God is, and God is going to do what God does, and we don't get to dictate it. And we don't get to manipulate it. And we don't earn God's favor by just following the rules. Now, I don't blame the Pharisees for being who they were. I mean, modern Jews are descended from Pharisees. This is, I don't mean biologically, I mean modern Judaism is founded on Phariseeism. It's a direct lineage, theologically and culturally. They believed that there was a right way and a wrong way to do things. They believed that the rules mattered. They believed that if we're going to do this religion bit, let's do it right. Let's pay attention to the letter of the law. Let's pay attention to the rules. Let's pay attention. Some folks have even said they were like Jewish Methodists. I mean, that's what Methodism comes from, right? There's a right way to do it. There's a right way for us to pray and to worship, and a right way for us to administer the sacraments, and a right way for us to live our lives. Where we get lost is believing that that right way earns us favor with God. And it earns us brownie points that we can cash in for miracles. It doesn't get us any gold coins that we can cash in for prayer requests. It doesn't get us, you know, 3 stars in our little bag that we can turn in and say, okay, God, I have followed all the rules. Now you hold up your end of the bargain. It doesn't work like that. I think one of the things we forget is that God is not some strict parent, not some strict school teacher, not some strict disciplinarian who is watching you, waiting for you to mess up so that you can be punished for your sins, or paying attention to you, making sure that you're doing all the right things, and if you are doing the right things, you'll get a treat. It's not like that. I think we forget that God is wild. I think we forget that God is capricious. I think we forget that God does what God's going to do in God's own time and at God's own will. So when Jesus tells these folks in the temple, you know, God is also concerned with people who aren't you. And no matter how good you're doing, religion isn't all about you. And no matter how great you're doing at following the rules, God isn't just all about you. That God has concern for sinners. God has concern for people outside our religion. God has concern for people outside your little circle. And I'm God's son. It ticked him off. Sometimes it ticks me off. I try to be good. I try to follow the rules. And I get caught up in this idea that I have done so many good things. Don't you hold up your end of the bargain, God. And I have to be reminded that God is God and I'm not. And that I don't get to tell God how to do God's job, and I don't get to tell God what God's next task is. I don't get to, no matter how much I love God, I don't get to give God a honey-do list. It doesn't work that way. But the good news, the gospel is that God is at work outside of our little circle. That God is at work outside of our bubble. God is at work outside of our church. God is at work outside of our religion. Jesus is at work outside of our framework. God is doing good things for people we think don't deserve it. God is doing good things for people we think don't believe in God. Well, God's doing good things for people who don't believe in God. God is doing good things for people who believe in a different God than we do. And God isn't looking for us to seek some kind of reward for being good. God asks us to join God in what God is doing outside of our bubble. Because God is at work. God is alive, and God is doing what God does. We're asked to be discerning, to see where God is at work, and to roll our sleeves up and join in. Be a part of it. I think it's important for all of us just to pay attention, just to see where God is at work, and support that in any way we can. How is God working outside of our bubble? Is God asking me to give money? Is God asking me to pray? Is God asking me to give vocal support? Is God asking me to raise awareness of what God is doing? How can I join in? What gifts and graces do I have that will help? God is busy doing God's thing. God never stops. I think that's good news. Amen.
Amen.